I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Is Washington broken? A group of former governors, cabinet secretaries, and members of Congress thinks it is. And they're working on bipartisan reforms aimed at fixing the political system. Two leaders of that effort, former Maryland Congresswoman Connie Morella and former Indiana Congressman Tim Romer, join me. She's a Republican, he's a Democrat. They started working to fix the system even before the 2016 election. Now, they're urging this year's midterm candidates to restore accountability, transparency, and integrity to Washington. Plus, a conversation with Baltimore Ceasefire co-founder Erica Bridgeford. The latest ceasefire weekend concluded last night. Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Primary day in Maryland is just a few weeks away. Early voting begins in 32 days. Today on Midday, the first in an occasional series of conversations about political engagement. We'll talk about the importance of voting, efforts to suppress voting, and foreign interference in our elections. And we'll examine how the landscape of candidates in the upcoming midterm elections has changed dramatically since the last time voters headed to the polls. On Thursday, I'll spend the hour with Donna Brazil, the former interim chair of the Democratic National Committee, whose 2017 book, Hacked, chronicled the Russian invasion of the DNC computer network. Next week, I'll speak with Derek Thompson, who studies why certain people, including politicians, become popular. Record numbers of women are running for office in this cycle. Later in the series, I'll speak with Amy Chozick, who covered Hillary Clinton for more than 10 years, about the glass ceiling that Clinton was unable to break in 2016. Plus, I'll talk with Jennifer Palmieri, Secretary Clinton's communications director, about her book, Dear Madam President, an open letter to the first woman who will break that ceiling. And finally, a couple of days before early voting begins, we'll talk about why so few people do vote and what's being done to both increase and suppress voters by activists and organized political parties alike. And of course, we'll continue to bring you our series of conversations with the candidates in our effort to help people make informed decisions when they go to the polls. The next one is Friday, when I'll speak with Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker, a Democratic candidate for governor. I'll also spend an hour with each of the three candidates who are running for state's attorney. And next Monday, Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger becomes the latest congressional incumbent to join us here on Midday. But today, a conversation with two retired congressional representatives who are part of a bipartisan effort to address the polarization between political camps. Republican Connie Morella and Democrat Tim Romer are part of a group called the Reformers Caucus. Nearly 200 former governors, cabinet secretaries, and members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats from all 50 states, who have banded together to fix the dysfunction in Washington. They work under the umbrella of an organization called Issue One, and they join me on the line from studios of NPR in Washington. Connie Morella represented Maryland's 8th Congressional District from 1987 until 2003. President George W. Bush appointed her the U.S. Ambassador to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD. That's a position that she held in Paris from 2003 until 2007. She's currently on the faculty of American University. Madam Ambassador, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
And Tim Romer represented Indiana's 3rd Congressional District from 1991 until 2003. After he left office, he served on the 9/11 Commission. He was the U.S. Ambassador to India for 2 years during the Obama administration. Ambassador Romer is now a senior counselor at APCO Worldwide, a global consultancy. And Mr. Ambassador, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Tom. Great to be here.
So, Connie Morella, this effort began, this Issue One organization and your Reformers Caucus began well before the 2016 election. You started this movement back in 2014. What was your animating principle?
the animating principle was the fact that I can remember going into the chamber and seeing a big sign which said, "In this house, the people govern." Alexander Hamilton had said that. And I recognized through my experiences in Congress and what was happening since then that the people weren't governing as well as they wanted to. They didn't feel they had a voice. And why? One of the major issues was money in politics. And so it was, let's let the people have an opportunity to feel they have a voice and some power in government and relieve the members of Congress from the onus of having to raise money every single day. So that was kind of the beginning, very simply the beginning of the Reformers Caucus under Issue 1.
And Tim Romer, some of the other folks who are members of this movement, Tom Daschle, Jane Harmon, Leon Panetta, these are all well-known political figures, but they're all in their 70s. You and Ms. Morella have been, you know, in the political game for a long time. I wonder, is this kind of movement going to be able to be effective if everybody who is behind it now is, or the majority of people behind it now, are of a generation that's no longer going to be actively serving in Congress, for example?
Well, that is a pointed question, Tom, and I wish you'd have given that one to Connie.
he means because of age, of course.
listen, first of all, I'm just honored to be working with Connie Morello. She and I worked in Congress together, and she is tough. She's smart. She's committed to our country and putting country before party. We're very effective, hopefully, what we're doing now to give the people back the power in this country. You ask a great question, Tom. With some of us, while we might be having the age factor of getting into our 60s or 70s or in some cases 80s, we have the heart and the enthusiasm of 20 and 30-year-olds, and we have the commitment to our country of bringing in new people to join us. For instance, we were just up in Philadelphia, where we had 50 former members of Congress, both parties join us, to commit to this declaration of renewing the cause to let the people govern in this country. And we had over 22,000 people from around the country sign this declaration that donors aren't in charge of the American government. Big check writers aren't in charge. Billionaires aren't in charge. It's we the people that are in charge. And so this effort is not just about us as former legislators or current reformers. It is about getting the American people involved in this effort and their integrity and their vigor and their enthusiasm.
Well, Ambassador Morella, I mean, I have no doubt that your energy and enthusiasm, you and Ambassador Romer's, are at an all-time high. The passion that you have for this purpose is quite clear. However, in terms of efficacy, in terms of actually changing things and moving the dial, what's been the response of younger members of Congress, current members of Congress, who have the actual capacity to pass legislation and to conduct their own political lives and their own political campaigns in a different way?
I really feel that everyone who runs for office has a desire to serve our country as well as their constituents. But somehow when they get there, there are the barriers and the strictures and the problems, the challenges they face, which make them turn to this whole concept of constant campaigning, raising money, more than even when Tim and I were in Congress. It has accelerated. You look at the number of younger members of Congress who are leaving. Well, you ask them, say, you know, why are you leaving? They say, well, it was a privilege to serve, et cetera. I was able to accomplish this, but I need time now to spend with my family and, quite frankly, go into the private sector. And then when you query them further, you'll see at the root of it is money. They spend more than 30 to 40% of their time in Congress raising money, raising it for their own campaigns, raising it for their party, raising it for special political action committees, maybe of their own. That takes them away from what they really wanted to do, and that is legislate, to meet with constituents. And so there was one of the members, Congressman Israel. When he left Congress, he said, oh, it's such a relief to not have to call people constantly begging for money whenever I see them, writing letters. And that happened with members on both sides of the aisle. So that's why this Reformers Caucus that we have with over 200 former elected officials is one where these are people who know what it's like. They have been there. They can see the entire a spectrum of situation, and they know that money is the root of it, and they want to do something about it. Those who are in Congress would like to. They're so busy running for re-election and raising money for their current campaigns or to have a particular spot, maybe on a committee or something they particularly want from leadership, which would come about as a result of raising money. So that's why I think this Reformers Caucus is so energetic. We have people of all ages from all parts of the country. And as Tim mentioned, the event we had at Carpenters Hall in Philadelphia, remembering the origin of our great country, we had representatives from California, from Maine, from all over the country who had come together to speak about the need for us who have been there, who love the institution, to do something to correct it for the future.
Yeah, and Ambassador Romer, Ambassador Morella wrote an op-ed piece in Washington Life magazine about 3 years ago in which he reported that 85% of adults want campaign finance reform. So I don't disagree, or no one can question the pervasiveness of people's desire for a change. And it's interesting to me that one of your solutions when it comes to the corrosive influence of money in politics is more donors. Talk about that.
Well, just going back to what Connie said so eloquently, too, whenever we go up to the Hill, Tom, and we talk to current members of Congress, they say three things. One, they say, this job stinks. I don't get to go to my committee. I don't get to meet with enough of my constituents. I'm raising money all the time. And that's not why they got elected. They got elected to help their constituents. Secondly, we have this phenomenon called dark money and outside groups that can come in to Maryland in Connie's case or Indiana in my case. And it's not the people of Maryland or Indiana that are contributing the money or deciding what ads go on TV and how they're paid for. It is these dark outside groups that are secretly funded that can determine who wins and loses. And then lastly, I think what a lot of people are saying up on Capitol Hill, they heard Donald Trump campaign on cleaning the swamp and draining the swamp. They heard Bernie Sanders say the campaign system is corrupted and corrosive, and it's directly attached to money and too much money in the process. And now, after hearing it over and over from these two candidates, nothing has changed. In fact, Tom, the swamp has more reptiles. It's deeper. It's darker. It's more ominous, as we've just seen from this Michael Cohen story, where he's raising money from all kinds of corporations, doing who knows for whom to influence the White House and policy. So to your question, where do we go from here? We think at issue one, and with the Reformers Caucus, where Connie and I work together, bringing the people in, we the people, the American people, getting more small donor contributions, which proves that when you give small donor contributions, not only do you feel part of the system, you're more likely to vote, you're more likely to stay engaged, you're more likely to believe that the system works. Let's not let billionaires determine who our elected representatives are as secret groups and leadership PACs. Let's let the American people decide that with their small donor contributions. So part of our solution is to encourage strengthening political parties again, bringing them back into the forefront, and encouraging small donor contributions.
And right here in Maryland, Congressman John Sarbanes has been a big proponent of this, trying to make more people donate less money individually. So more donors, smaller contributions, as opposed to large corporate donors. And Connie Morella, one of the recommendations that your group is making is that the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, should require publicly traded companies to disclose their political contributions, you know, looking for more transparency. However, in the last continuing resolution, just passed a couple months ago, specifically, Congress forbade that to happen, said, no, we're not ever going to require public companies, publicly traded companies, to be transparent about their political contributions. So that seems to be a pretty strident step backwards in terms of what you all are trying to accomplish.
Yes, it is. But I do want to say that people are now trying to become engaged in whatever way they can, and investors now are asking for the corporations to be transparent, to let them know where the money goes. So I think the people are taking it into their own hands. And incidentally, since you mentioned John Sarbanes, and I salute him for what he has consistently done in terms of seeing the corruptive power of money in politics, but we also have on Capitol Hill, we have a congressional reformers caucus, and it's 50% Democrats, 50% Republicans. So it shows that even those in Congress is saying, hey, let us also have the guts, and we have the savvy to do something here with encouraging our colleagues to be more involved. And now that this is an election year, this may be a darn good time for members of Congress to say, yes, we are going to do something about it and get on some legislation. Tom, we have, for instance, Issue 1 helped to design the Honest Ads Act. And this is one that would simply, it's really kind of a no-brainer. It would simply say that for online advertising, there has to be disclosure, transparency and disclosure. You know, that's a security item also. I mean, look at what Russia has done in terms of infiltrating online communication. Much of it has been false, and yet we have no legislation to say that can't be done, and yet it could be done. It is being done with radio and TV. So that's one of the issues that we are also working with Congress to get them on board. And we do have, on the House side, it's 50-50 Democrat-Republican co-sponsors, and we do have the bill in the Senate side, too. So that's one of the issues.
Former ambassadors and representatives Tim Romer of Indiana and Connie Morella of Maryland. He's a Democrat, she is a Republican, and they are co-chairs of the Reformers Caucus, a group of nearly 200 former governors, cabinet secretaries, and members of Congress from both parties and all 50 states who have banded together to try to address the toxic environment of politics. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you can join our conversation, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. And to find us on Twitter @MiddayWYPR. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.
Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow on our program, as the region continues to mourn the passing of Kevin Kamenetz, the late Baltimore County executive who died on Friday, we'll consider the political impact of Mr. Kamenetz's death with Baltimore Sun reporter Pamela Wood and Brian Sears of the Daily Record. We'll also hear about the new play at the Everyman Theater. It's called The Book of Joseph, and that's all coming up tomorrow on midday. If you're just joining us today, we're talking about how to fix politics and address the persistent cynicism and wariness and undue influence of money in the political process. Ambassador Connie Morella represented Maryland in Congress from 1987 until 2003. She then served as U.S. Ambassador to OECD until 2007. And Ambassador Tim Romer represented Indiana in Congress from 1991 to 2003. He was U.S. Ambassador to India from 2009 until 2011. You're welcome to join us and be part of our conversation here on Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email midday@wypr.org, and our Twitter handle is @MiddayWYPR. If you want to find me on Twitter, my handle's @TomHallWYPR. Ambassador Romer, we have an email from John who speaks to your point about strengthening political parties. He says that perhaps your guests will agree with the premise that the gridlock of our government results from the tribalism and us versus them mentality of partisan politics as it has developed since the early 1970s. If so, what would they think of the prospect of every member of Congress being able to act as an independent, free of arm twisting by party leaders and cash dispensing lobbyists, no matter what their party affiliation? There perhaps is some sentiment like John's that say that the parties themselves are responsible for this deep divide, this bifurcation in the political discourse. What do you think?
Well, it's a good question. And I think, again, coming back to when Connie and I served in Congress together, she's a Republican from Maryland. I'm a Democrat from Indiana. We didn't agree on many issues, but we respected one another and we sought each other out when there were opportunities to pass legislation across the aisle, whether that was a potentially a balanced budget issue or whether that was something on higher education and cost or whether that was some reasonable reforms in our government. We put conscience, we put our constituents, and we put our country first, not donors, not big political interests, and not political parties, quite frankly. And so, to the question, we have to elect people that go to Congress that are not going to spend 30 or 40 or 50% of their day raising money. They're going to try to represent their constituents and, fight for changes and reforms and do the right thing. I got to give a shout out to Maryland. Both Congressman John Sarbanes has co-sponsored the Honest Ads Act. Has legislation that he's introduced to empower small donors, empower political parties, as your questioner alludes to. And also Senator Chris Van Hollen, I think, is also on the Honest Ads Act. And back to what Connie said earlier, the Honest Ads Act, Tom, is critically important for the following reason. Imagine if you and I were both sitting in front of our TV sets when TV was the dominant media back in the 1960s or 70s. We're in the Cold War with the Soviet Union, and all of a sudden an ad comes on TV claiming something about how a candidate is not American enough and making all kinds of accusations about what they would do if they got into office. And the ad was paid for by the Russians, by the Soviet Union. And they were trying to influence the outcome of our election, whether it was Kennedy and Nixon in 1960 or congressional elections. Imagine how outraged Americans would be that the Soviet Union could buy advertising on our TV and not disclose it. Now fast forward to 2016. We have the Russians with bot farms in St. Petersburg buying ads on Facebook, thousands of ads, which some Americans download and share with each other to the tune of millions with one another. They're false ads. They're false people. They're trying to instill hatred between Americans. A lot of these ads are based on race or controversial things. And there's no law in America to say we should disclose on our current technology, the internet and Facebook and Google and other places, who's buying these ads and where they're coming from. They're not, they're not foreign governments. So that's what the Honest Ads Act says, is let's be honest about it and let's make sure we know who's advertising in our newest medium.
And Connie Morella, I think Ambassador Romer is exactly right that a lot of people would be outraged if they thought that the Russian government were buying television ads to influence an election. And there are a lot of people right now who are equally outraged about the fact that the President of the United States, many of the members of his administration and members of congressional leadership are downplaying Russian involvement. The President is loath to even admit that it happened. He has questioned the credibility of the intelligence agencies that have said that it has happened. He is questioning the credibility of the free press by calling it fake news. And he's got an awful lot of people in Congress who are mimicking those sentiments on the campaign trail and on the floor of the House. I mean, at what point can the current administration and the Republican Party in particular pick up the mantle of transparency and they now control Congress. This could happen, could it not, if there was a political will among the current people in power?
Well, I find that Google, Twitter, Facebook all find merit in the Honest Ads Act. Only they say, well, we'll do it. Maybe we don't need legislation. Well, they do need the legislation. It's a simple kind of recognition of just honesty, discovery. And you'll find that on the House side, there is a 50-50 co-sponsorship by Democrats and Republicans. So we've got to get it moving.
Is there any will in the leadership? I mean, with Speaker
Ryan
and Leader McConnell?
That gets back to the previous question. It was when I was in Congress and when Tim was, when I put a piece of legislation in, I immediately went to Democrats that I thought might support it, that it would help their constituencies and get on the bill. The same thing would happen to me. The Democrats would come to me and say, Marella, we think this would be a great bill for you to co-sponsor with us. Why? We wanted the American people to know that you work together in the Congress of the United States. There may be party differences, individual differences, but you work together on the big issues. That is becoming less occurring. And I would give some blame to the political parties, both of them. I would give them blame in terms of their asking their members to raise a certain amount of money, to leave their offices and go over to the DNC, Democratic National Committee, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, and raise this amount of money. If they do that, they get some credits. If they don't do that, well, there just might be something they don't get that they would like to have for their constituents. So I think the parties could do more to bring more bipartisanship to the Congress. They know what's happening. The people out there feel disenfranchised. They feel that this Congress, is, as had been mentioned, is works on tribalism, and we need to bring it together. So I would hope that with the legislation, with the discussion, with what's happening in states and localities, that the parties, the leadership in the parties would say, yeah, let's get together a little more to demonstrate to the people that we do believe in compromise, that we do believe in working together for what's in the best interest in our country.
Tom, and that is precisely what Connie and I are trying to do, is we form this group of Democrats and Republicans, 200 of them, former leaders in the Senate and the House, ambassadors, governors from both parties. We're going up to the Hill. We're reaching out into congressional districts and saying to both Democrats and Republicans, you're responsible for our system now. You need to do something about this in both parties. And as you mentioned, you know, Republicans happen to control the White House and the Senate and the House of Representatives right now. They need to show the leadership to get this legislation through, to shepherd it through. We're showing that there's bipartisan support for Federal Election Commission reform, honest ads to make sure that you know, we know who's advertising, and foreign powers can't advertise on our social media. Fixing the system so that billionaires don't take it over, and small donors are empowered to give, and there's some matching funds for that. We're showing that this can be done in a bipartisan way, and leadership in both parties, especially those in leadership positions now, need to come forward and do this. I think the American people are going to come forward in the midterm elections.
But the bipartisan,
we want to see this.
But forgive me, sir, but the bipartisan effort behind this is energized by people who are no longer running for office. So my question is, what, when you make the case to them, what's the incentive for current office holders to make, you know, authentic efforts to reform? We've talked about incentivizing small dollar donors. You suggest, for example, banning registered lobbyists from making contributions or bundling campaign congressional contributions to campaigns. They do have to spend an awful lot of money raising, or an awful lot of time raising money. What's What is the tipping point? What is has to change in order
Tom,
for the system to be different?
Oftentimes in American politics, it is the outside groups that lead the focus and the power of change. You look at some of the outside groups in our history, and from our revolution to our civil rights movement. I served on the 9/11 Commission. It was the 9/11 families in their grief and sorrow that came forward and helped us pass 39 of the 40 recommendations into law. It is often outside groups that provide, this momentum and this power, and they feel empowered by our system. Look at the kids in the high school, the students in Florida that are out trying to change the system and get some reasonable gun issues on the table and considered in the private sector and state legislatures and in our federal government. So these groups can make a difference. That's why we formed Issue One. And what is in the interest of these current members? I think one thing is they hate raising money all the time, Tom. Two is they hate the influence of these outside dark groups that can determine who wins and loses apart from what they raise and how they try to convince their voters in their own campaigns to vote. These outside groups can virtually steal the election at the end of the day coming from the outside. And three, I think they see that Congress has a 10% approval rating. That's unsustainable in the long term in our great republic. You cannot have the American people disbelieve in Congress as an institution over the long term.
We see this group also as energizing the public, asking them to go to these forums and ask about campaign finance, ask about money in politics, ask about what they are doing to get an answer.
And in the last midterm election in 2014, it was the lowest turnout in 70 years. 64% of people who could vote didn't vote. I mean, just
that's another point.
The political engagement is just at an all-time abyss.
And that's one of the reasons, Tom, is because they say, oh, there's all this money in politics. Somebody's campaign is measured by the kind of money they bring in rather than the merits of their issues. I must say, I'm very proud of Montgomery County, Maryland, where I live, because they have now started campaign finance reform for the county council members and for the county executive. It's a system where you get so many people to sign up, and you can only have contributions of a certain amount. The state of Maryland had that too, but the state of Maryland, their gubernatorial treasury has kind of dried up. One of the candidates has kind of utilized what is left. But I'm very proud to see that our community of Montgomery County is doing it. You're finding this also happening throughout the nation. States, localities are saying, let us do something about it. Congress hasn't yet, so we should do something
about
it.
All right, well, Madam Ambassador and Mr. Ambassador, I'm off, sorry, we are out of time, sir.
Okay.
So we're going to have to pick this up at another time, but I very much appreciate not only your efforts, but your time that you've allowed to be spent with us this afternoon on Midday. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Indiana Democrat Tim Romer served in Congress for 12 years and as the U.S. Ambassador to India from 2009 to 2011. Maryland Republican Connie Morella was in Congress for about 16 years. She also served as U.S. Ambassador to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in Paris from 2003 to 2007. We'll have more information about the work they're doing with the Reformers Caucus and a link on our website, wypr.org/midday. When we come back after a quick break, Erica Bridgeford, one of the founders of the Baltimore Ceasefire, joins me. The Ceasefire is a movement that encourages nonviolence in Baltimore. The latest ceasefire weekend concluded last night. There have been no homicides in our city over the weekend, with the exception of two, an infant who was killed on Saturday and a young man who was killed early this morning. About 4 o'clock this morning. Since the beginning of the year, 103 people have been victims of homicide. Every Monday here on Midday, we read the names of those who have lost their lives to violence in the previous week. We stand in witness to their untimely deaths, and we remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. Last week, 7 people were the victims of homicide in Baltimore. One 23-year-old man was killed and has not yet been identified by police. The others are Arnold Patterson, age 49, Aaron Palmis, age 23, Timmel Harris, age 24, William Mortimer, age 74, Ray Glasgow III, age 17, and Jordan DeShields. He was 16 years old. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.